Welcome, Black Hollywood Live fans. On today's episode of Fit Club, we talk the Netflix documentary, What the Health. Stay tuned for more.
You're tuned into Black Hollywood Live, Fit Club.
Hey. This is a good show, so we had to put a great warm-up song, get us in the mood to talk about What the Health. Thank you for tuning in. I am your host, Fallon Mercedes. You can find me online at fitwithfallon.com or on social media at fitwithfallon. And Shaka, where can they find you?
You guys can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Shaka Strong.
And you know these moves. You grew up in Miami,
of course,
right?
Hey. Of course. This is the music you dance to when you find out the truth. You're
yes.
Like, okay, you know what? I got put on something. Let me celebrate.
And we are finding out the truth today. Yeah. Hopefully, you all have watched the documentary, What the Health. Shaka and I kind of told you last week that today we will be doing a full review on the recap. Yeah. Now, this is a documentary that is waking up Americans all over the place. And I feel like there really has been a kind of a vegan revolution going on. Yeah. But I think this documentary is really going to put it on the map. I've been seeing people tweet about it, hashtag it, post about it. I mean, yesterday, you know, I kind of wanted to, you know, get under people's, what would you say?
Yeah, well, I mean, sometimes when you know when you're going to tell the truth, it's going to affect people in their heart and their core.
Yeah, you know? So I just put up some stats and I said, hey, we'll be discussing this today. I didn't say, you know, anything else, and people went crazy in the comments, like crazy, like all night, like they were still going at it. And I was like, wow, this is definitely something that we should talk about. So shout out to everybody who went off on the comments, good or bad. It still, you know, brought something up inside of you. And if you want to talk to us about it while we're doing the show, I have right here in front of me the live chat going on, and we'll ask our engineers as well. Can you put it on the big screen so we could see? So if you guys want to ask us any questions or maybe just give us your viewpoint.
Comments.
Yeah, what you guys thought about the documentary, we will be responding live. Okay, so just to let you know a little bit about this documentary, filmmaker Kip Anderson, who is known for Cowspiracy and other documentaries that he has done that has kind of woken people up as well. He has uncovered the secrets to preventing and reversing chronic diseases, and he investigates in this documentary why the nation's leading health organizations do not want people to know about it. Have you watched his other documentaries?
I saw Cowspiracy a long time ago, so I didn't really remember it. And when I saw it, I don't think I was vegan yet.
Oh.
So, yeah, I don't think it kind of... I think that one didn't hit me the same way this one hit me, because this one was really about how we're believing something because of the industry, the way the industry is really paying for us to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, a lot of times we talk about being vegan or going vegan, it tends to be more of a personal choice.
Yeah.
And this felt like, wait, have I been assaulted my entire life by, like, corporations?
Yeah. I remember if any of you have read the book, The Calorie Myth, and in that book, it kind of broke down some of the things that this documentary did in terms of the government, you know, who are being funded by, you know, national food corporations. And it lists, kind of like in the movie, you know, that here they're giving us this food pyramid and these guidelines of what to eat, what is healthy. We need so much dairy. We need so much meat. But yet, all of these big companies are paying, you know, Nestle and Coca-Cola and, you know,
Kind
they're the ones who are really controlling, you know, what we're eating.
And I was a pretty smart kid, and when I saw that food pyramid, I just took it for word. I took it as gold. Like, this is the way I should be eating.
Being a trainer, too, you know, I deal with a lot of women who have osteoporosis, especially in women, because we have a higher rate of it. And all of the women who come into me always say, I don't understand. I've been drinking milk all my life.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll be honest, years and years ago, I went along with it.
You were like, drink more.
I'm like, keep strength training, keep working out, and drink your milk.
Yeah.
And this affected me not only as, you know, a person, but also a professional.
Yeah.
So it was very riveting and eye-opening. And if you haven't watched it, listen to what we're talking about. But I want you to go watch it afterwards to get your own thoughts on it. And then you can sound off in the comments or tweet at us and let us know what you think.
Yeah, do we have that chat up? I don't know.
Do we have the chat up? Let me see if I can find it on my phone. But yeah.
Oh, there we go.
So perfect. What perfect. I also... Okay, we got it going. What I also saw, too, after I watched the documentary, I didn't want to just watch it and nothing else. So I also went onto YouTube and...
did a little post.
Yeah, and wanted to see what other people who were debunking it had to say.
Yeah.
And there was this doctor, they call him, I think, Dr. Zebo or Z-Dog. Yeah. And he had a lot to say, too. But first, let's jump into it. Yeah. Let's, I guess, go into the facts. We have a fact sheet that we'll pull up, and we'll dive into each of the facts. But worldwide, we are looking at approximately 350 million people with diabetes. Now, this is all these facts are statements that are said in the documentary. Yeah. So, with that being said, there is an epidemic of diabetes.
Yeah, we knew that. But what was so remarkable about this documentary, it showed you why it was caused. I have always believed too much sugar is going to lead to diabetes. I've been told that my entire life, history of diabetes on my father's side. Yeah. So, always watch your sugar intake, watch your sodium intake. And come to find out that it really has to do with the meat that we're eating. Yeah.
Or even carbs. Yeah. I always thought, you know, the more carbs you eat, it does affect your...
There's more sugars,
your glycose levels, glycogen levels. And it makes sense now that when I think about it, because when I think of, you know, the Asian community, people who come from Asia...
Yeah.
Who eat tons of rice, and typically Asians are thin.
Yeah.
And I had one girl yesterday who came in to train with me, and she's Asian American. She just, I guess, became a citizen recently. She got here 3 years ago from Japan, and she is 30 pounds overweight. And she was like, "This never happened to me when I was in Asia,"
yeah.
Or even Indians,
yeah.
Or even, you know, when I go to the Dominican Republic. To see my family, my country, you know, we are curvy, but I see it go to obesity and severe obesity once my family starts coming to the States.
Yeah.
And I know it has to do with the food, and we were all eating rice and beans over there. So what is the difference? And it's what they put in the food and especially the meat.
Yeah. And that it's crazy. What is it? 2 out of 3 adults are overweight or obese. 2 out of 3.
2 out of 3.
And so it goes to show you there's a problem. It's not just humans' minds changing about the way we eat. There's a systemic problem.
Yeah, and even if you take my body fat percentage, I'm ashamed to say it, but it is a little high. And, you know, after I did Dr. Shamika's cleanse, which I was raw vegan and then vegetarian, I did drop in weight and body fat percentage. And again, it opened my eyes to realize I didn't even work out on the cleanse.
Yeah.
Didn't work out. Right now, I work out every day, 5 days a week, maybe 6. And, you know, when you just focus on the nutrition and the food, you see a huge difference. And they say you can't outwork a bad diet. Yeah. That's for a reason.
It's absolutely true. And you see in the documentary, there were some people that were suffering. They had been taking so many drugs and, you know, were overweight. And within a couple of days, they were off a lot of the drugs. Mm-hmm. In a couple of weeks, their body fat decreased significantly.
Yeah. There is, I got to think of the name. There is this doctor who wrote a book. I'll think of it, but I'll explain it. Basically, people who have cancer... what he writes in his book is just to juice and cleanse.
Is this Sebi? Dr. Sebi?
No, not Sebi. Okay. He's good too, but it was another one from Europe. He passed away. But that was one of the things. He also suggested colon cleanses to clean the colon, probably because all the food that we're eating, all the meats, and then just to juice, because a lot of us can be obese, but we're starving on a cellular level.
Yeah.
And it's the cholesterol and all the meat that's not letting us get the vitamins and nutrients that we need to get to our cells, to feed us on a cellular level.
Yeah, and I say even better than juicing, it's like blending the whole fruit, because we know that we're not getting enough fiber.
Yeah.
So
I actually don't have a juicer, so I blend everything. But to me, that's juicing because I don't have a juicer. Just some other stats. 1 out of 3 Medicare dollars is spent on people with diabetes.
Yeah, so there's really no incentive for the community to get people to prevent having diabetes. They want you to live with diabetes and live long and continue to take medications for it.
And like Dr. Shamika, who's a friend of ours on the show, when she was here, she told us, and the documentary backed it up, stating that doctors in med school, and even when they're out of med school, only have to do 7 hours of nutrition class.
Oh, no, they were recommending that. They fought against it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, they it's incredible how there needs to be more preventative education to physicians and nurses and people in the health field instead of just... But I think, you know, the pharmacy companies or pharmaceutical companies, I think they're the ones who are probably giving these medical schools money to...
Yeah, and the doctors themselves, because these doctors that are part of these associations are testifying that it's too onerous for them to do 7 hours of nutritional training.
Which 7 hours. Ridiculous. 7 hours. Yeah. Just 7 hours.
Because that 7 hours translates to loss of millions of dollars for pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, it's just sad. I think... You know, in California, there you can find holistic doctors everywhere. I mean, I was researching this past week, and I am so excited to try some of the stuff, you know, just to try. Yeah. I think just educating yourself, researching, trying just to see. But I think there is going to be a revolution and an uprise for holistic doctors.
No, absolutely. There was the one lady in the film who had thyroid cancer, and she was able to change her diet to get rid of the thyroid cancer. Mm-hmm. And so when you do that, of course there are people who are incentivized to not want that to happen. Mm-hmm. But our productivity goes up. We spend less money on hospitals and less money on that kind of care. So this is the kind of way we need to move. But what we're going to see is that corporations are going to lose money along the way.
Yeah. Can you explain to us what carcinogens are?
Carcinogens are any compound that would promote cancer in the body.
Okay. So there's a stat here that, and again, all the facts that we have, I'll put up a link, I guess, under our YouTube, and I'll send Shaka and myself, we'll put it on our social media, but you will see the research underneath if you want to dive deeper, if you think we're just throwing things out there. Yeah. But this says, the World Health Organization report has classified bacon and sausage as carcinogenic to humans. Now this, my friends... This was new to me. Like, I know they tell pregnant women not to eat deli meat, not to eat fish. That's new to me, too. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that after. But to know that processed meat is very correlated to cancer risks and getting cancer up there with cigarette smoking, I can't even...
It's in the same
list? I can't even count... How many hot dogs I ate as a child. Like, that was a staple. We would drive to New York and go to Coney Island and have a hot dog. And, you know, even when you think you're eating turkey deli meat or chicken deli meat.
It's still having the same effect. And we know that our largest sodium intake comes from chicken.
Chicken! That was crazy to me.
Our largest cholesterol? Chicken.
So, everything I feel like that we've learned to... Eat the, you know, the less fat turkey and chicken and, you know, the leaner meats. It's like those are just as dangerous. And just because you see organic on, you know, the packages, that it doesn't mean it's
not going to affect your body. Because we know that the minute, because people say, okay, moderation, moderation. And that was a great point in the film was that moderation doesn't work when it comes to this kind of stuff. It's sort of like saying, oh, I'll have a moderate amount of arsenic. You know, no, there's no good amount that's right. Man. The minute you eat meat, it starts an inflammatory response in the body. The very second it happens. So even though I've been vegan for a year and a half, the minute I eat meat, it's going to start an inflammatory response in my body.
Yeah.
So it looks like we have a comment in the in the chat room. What do we got here?
So let's talk cross-pollination versus genetically modified. Can we agree that there are some good benefits to genetically modified foods, for example, like apples, etc.? Okay, after watching this documentary, I automatically thought, okay, what can we trust? Because we know we can't trust meat, but then we hear so much about GMOs and, you know, organic fruits and vegetables versus, you know, cross-pollination. So basically that means in this country, we have taken like certain seeds and put them with other seeds to make our own type of man-made fruits and vegetables.
Yeah.
For instance, corn, you know, if you went to Mexico many, many years ago, corn was originally like purple and blue, and it wasn't until we cross-pollinated in the United States, it became yellow, and now everybody's eating yellow corn. Yeah. So that being said, Shaka, I know you're vegan, and you are, you know, very picky about the foods that you eat. What is the difference? Is it just as bad, or is it...
Well, with genetically modified foods, we don't know exactly what the effect is on the food itself and how it's going to affect our body once we intake it. A large amount of GMO foods are being fed to our animals. Mm-hmm. And so you're still getting, even when you think you're having this organic meat or whatever, mm-hmm. you're still getting the potential dangers of GMO foods. Mm-hmm. So it's something I completely avoid or do my best to when I know what I'm eating, you know.
Well, what about cross-pollination in terms of, like, in the United States, the fruits and vegetables that are grown here, some of them are basically man-made. They might not have GMOs in it, but, like, is that even safe for you?
In general, I find it to be safe. But, again, you need to do some sort of testing to make sure you're not creating some sort of poisonous substance. Yeah. But, yeah.
Well, I think and I hope, and I'll have to maybe do more research into this, but just because you cross-pollinate, that's still natural.
Yeah.
The GMOs, they're not natural. So that's like putting, you know, peanut butter, natural peanut butter, and like homemade strawberry jam. You put it together, it's still natural. It's just going to make, you know, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Maybe that was a bad analogy. But what I'm saying is, if it's something natural and natural and you put it together, it doesn't mean that there's things in there that could harm you because it's coming from both natural resources.
Yeah, and with cross-pollination, it's happening naturally. When you're genetically modifying something, that gene that you're changing changes everything. And so we don't know the effect necessarily of changing everything. That changes the organism and what it actually is. So.
Yeah. I'll talk to Dr. Shamika about this too, and then we could kind of recap on next episode. But thank you for the question. That was a really, really good one. Okay. So let's talk about American Cancer Society encourages eating processed turkey and canned meat. So during the documentary, while Kip was on the American Cancer Society website, after doing his own research, he realized that, you know, meat can cause cancer. But he found it very interesting that even the cancer website was promoting, you know, turkey and processed meats that have carcinogens in them that cause cancer.
Yeah, it was the same thing for American Diabetes Association. It was the same thing for the American Heart Association. And then we get the kicker at the end of it is that all their sponsors are these meat companies. So the same companies that were saying contribute to causing cancer, they're sponsoring the American Heart Association. You know, they're sponsoring these people that are supposed to be our best gatekeepers.
Yeah, and that makes me really afraid because there's so much research out there that when you dig into that research, a lot of it is being funded by the backers.
Yeah, the egg lobby, the dairy
exactly.
lobby.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's just like, okay, just like if you remember cranberries, what was it, Ocean Spray?
Yeah.
They got outed saying that Ocean Spray cranberry juice is really good for like UTIs and urinary tract infections and yeast infections, and it's a lie. It has so much sugar, but they funded their own studies. So,
and that's what they do, and they spend hundreds of millions of dollars to do it, and to do it in a way that you don't necessarily readily know or can see when you look at some of these studies. Yeah.
So, as far as diabetes, 1 in 3 people will have diabetes in the U.S. As far as cancer, 1 out of every 4 deaths is caused from cancer.
Yeah.
So I found that very interesting that the numbers are so similar when it comes to diabetes and the cause of death due to cancer.
Yeah, I mean, these meats really promulgate these are cancerous cells. Mm-hmm. And once we remove them from the body, these cancerous cells start to starve and die off.
Mm-hmm. 70% of deaths and morbidity are largely lifestyle related and preventable.
Which was such a good thing that they highlighted, because so many people, I have cancer in my family, I'm not going to be able to outrun it.
Exactly. There's a very small percentage of, you know, it being in your family that it's going to happen to you.
Yeah. 5 to 10%, I believe, is like are genetically induced.
Yeah. And the sad thing is that it's our behaviors that we learn from our family members. Yeah. You know, when you're making your mama's gumbo, or, you know, my family has a great recipe for steak and onions, and like those things, that's what's, you know, that's what we're really passing down in the family.
And it's scary, because they were saying by age of 10, kids have already fatty arteries by the age of 10.
And I see it too with my nieces and nephews that are growing up. Not that we didn't see it when I was a child. However, I do believe that, you know, kids are not playing and they're not as active. So that means they're in the house and they're eating more.
Playing games, just eating.
Yeah. And especially, you know, and, you know, poor communities. I have one client who she told me, she does not want her child to go out and play because across the street at the park, there's always gang members selling drugs, and she does not want to expose her child to that. And she feels she's to blame because now her child is obese and she's struggling at a very young age, but she would rather have her in the house than outside in that neighborhood.
Which is fine, because we got to know it's the food, though, that you're making. Because, the fact that she's inside all the time, she should be even healthier.
Exactly, yeah. Well, maybe not healthier, but...
Well, if you're feeding her the right food, she'll be even healthier.
Yeah. If it's feeding her the right foods, that will do that. What you were saying, the fatty livers, streaks in kids. But you usually don't see fatty livers or fatty streaks in livers until what age? Maybe 40s, 50s? Yeah. I forget the exact age.
But now it's 10 years old.
Yeah.
You're getting already fatty streaks in the arteries for kids.
In the next 25 years, one out of every three Americans will have diabetes.
One third of Americans. That's huge.
That's very huge. Yeah. Diabetes is not caused by eating, what we said earlier, the carbohydrates or a high sugar diet. Mm-hmm.
The worst is if a child gets diabetes, it cuts their life expectancy down by 19 years.
Yeah, that to me is crazy because I wonder what's the lifespan when you get onset adult diabetes.
Yeah, but we know juvenile diabetes is on the rise as well, you know?
One serving of processed meat per day increased risk of developing diabetes by 51%. That blew me away right there.
Yeah.
One 51%. Serving of meat per day.
Mm-hmm. And most Americans are probably having 2, 3, 4 servings.
I mean, I was taught to have meat with every meal.
Yeah.
So another thing in the documentary that I found interesting too, one of the doctors, he was saying that a paleo diet or paleo diet. A paleo diet, which is, you know, really known against CrossFitters or people who are trying to stay away from carbs. He was explaining in the documentary that look at this right here. I mean, if they're meat heavy, they are just doing so much damage to their organs and really, you know, it's going to affect their lifespan. But I think because this is so new right now, I don't think there's a lot of literature or reports out there, stats that we can see to really see what it's doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And we got another comment from Sarah. What is it? Would it be safe to intake large quantities of fruits? Are these types of sugars, fructose, better or indifferent to normal sugar? If so, when juicing, would it be better to juice green veggies more than fruit? My personal take on that is that sugar that comes naturally from fruits or any other natural source is good for you and fine for you. If your sugar intake is somehow affecting yourself calorically, then you're going to watch your calories.
Yeah.
But the actual sugar intake from fruits or juicing veggies, I think it's fine.
Yeah.
You're going to want to make sure you get a full profile of veggies and fruit anyways, just to get your vitamins and minerals.
Yeah, and Sarah, the body is able to break down natural sugar so much quicker and faster than it is processed sugar. And if you're worried about sugar intake, what I would suggest is after a workout, that's probably the time when you want to eat the sugar, because it will feed your muscles and go to the right places quickly after your workout. So if you want to eat the fruits and you're a little concerned, you know, do it after a workout.
Cool.
All right. American Diabetes Association features recipes for red and processed meat. And this is something that we talked about earlier.
Again, they
even I was surprised too, with, you know, the pink ribbon, the cancer, associate breast cancer awareness and that association, you know, dairy has been founded to really affect
breast cancer
in women. And, you know, we've seen yogurts with, you know, pink ribbons on them. So it's very scary that they would even promote eating dairy.
And again, who are their sponsors? Yoplait.
Yes.
So
over 17 million people die every year from cardiovascular disease. I mean, I can tell you three family members of mine, two aunts and one uncle, in the last 3 years have had a heart attack. Maybe not have died, but it's
scary. And it's really because of the way we're being taught to eat, and we're being told and sold things as healthy. So it's not even what chance do we have when you're telling us this is the healthy way to go?
Within minutes of eating dead meat, bacteria, toxins, the body gets a burst of inflammation, stiffening or paralyzing the arteries.
Yeah.
You touched on it earlier, but I really feel like, especially this information, letting us know exactly what it's doing inside of our bodies is really going to have people second guess, you know.
And that's not just like, oh, you've been eating meat all your life, or so much pounds a day, though that's what, no, just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That starts the process off.
American Cancer Society recommends fish and poultry. The fish thing, that was very new to me. Can you explain kind of the information that we learned about fish? Because, I mean, I always thought fish was, you know, better than being meat eating.
I thought it was one of the safer sort of foods. But again, fish, there are tons of chemicals. They got PCBs. They're filled with different hormonal chemicals that are lodged in their fat, and mercury. And all of this affects us. And so when you're eating fish, it doesn't matter if it's the fatty fish or if it's like, I think we're all often told avoid catfish, it's a little bit more fatty. Avoid tuna, that tends to be more mercury heavy. But all fish contain these chemicals that really harm our bodies.
And as you're talking about this, the images in my mind from, you could see the farmed fish.
Yeah.
It was just like...
Yeah, and it's no safer. The farm fish is no safer than the wild-caught stuff. And they're all exposed.
Yeah, and they're just all, like, together. And it's not like... I went to the Dominican Republic in March, and we had dinner on the beach, and we had lobster. I'll tell you, I have never had lobster like that here in the States. And I know because, not saying it's great for
lobster,
you.
Yeah,
not saying it's great for you, but... I think here in the States, it's just mass production.
Yeah.
And the quality of food has gone down so much. And I feel like this really has heightened all the issues that we are having now with the food. It's because it's not... I mean, you even saw the part of the documentary where the pigs that died... The pigs that died from illnesses and bacteria and viruses... They would just shred it up and refeed it back to the other pigs to eat. Yep. And then we're eating those pigs. And it was out of this world.
Hey, wait, but next time you go to the DR and they offer you that succulent lobster.
Yeah.
It's a no.
I mean, I'll be honest. I went vegan. I went vegan for a couple of months. And I didn't even think I would last a couple of days.
Yeah.
Since then, I had one on vacation, and I had a little bit of fish, a little here and there. But, I mean, this thing, watching this documentary kind of, like, woke me back up, you know? I kind of feel like fitness, you know? You fall off, and then you get back on, and then finally you kind of get a routine. So I'm not perfect, and I know I'm giving you all the facts, and I'm telling you, you know, vegan is the way to go. I'm not 100% vegan, but I'll tell you.
What's keeping you from going 100% vegan after this documentary? What could possibly be keeping you?
You know, not that I'm not going to, but I feel like it's just, you know, everybody gets comfortable.
Yeah.
Everybody's used to cooking, so it's getting out of that routine. But, you know, even going to the supermarket this week, I made sure that I gave myself options so I wouldn't fail.
Yeah.
You know, I made sure, okay, I'm going to buy tofurkey, which is, you know, fake turkey, but the peppered one is amazing. My Just Mayo, these are like product shout outs, so if you want to sponsor us, the Chipotle one was amazing. I got some Daiya cheese you know, tempeh bacon. So I think for me, it's finding alternatives to help me replace my meat that I think will help me transition completely.
Yeah.
You know, even eggs. One of the shocking stats about eggs, eating one egg per day is just as bad as smoking 5 cigarettes per day for life expectancy. This blew me away because, you know, I maybe you could say I'm like a vegetarian, pescatarian. Eggs are like my jam. Yeah. I love eggs. And to see those stats, 5 cigarettes per day.
Yeah, I mean, for me, eggs were my big thing, too, because I would eat egg whites all the time. So it was a tougher thing to get away from.
Yeah.
But your health.
So what are you having as a substitute?
I never really found a substitute for egg whites. I have egg replacers, so if I want to bake something, I can use that in there. But I never found a substitute for egg whites, but I was fine not to have one.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it was just like health.
I mean, this just makes me look at food so differently.
Yeah. I mean, food is thy medicine, you know, that whole deal. And it really is our medicine. It's how we heal. It's how we grow.
Yeah.
And if we're putting the wrong things in our body, like dairy, which... We know it's a formula for a cow. It's designed to grow a cow from a little bitty thing to this huge, several hundred pound animal in a very short amount of time, and we're having it. And I think one of the stats was the casein, so that we know how bad the casein affects our bodies. And in human milk, there's about 2.7 grams of casein per liter. Mm-hmm. In cow's milk, it's 27 grams, and we're drinking this stuff. So
this blows me away. All the information, and the number one source of saturated fat is dairy.
Yeah.
So I know you told me this before.
Yeah,
if you are on, you know, your way to trying to kind of getting your foot in the water of becoming healthier and living this type of lifestyle, the first thing you should give up is dairy.
Yeah. And then we got another little comment here. Being black and Hispanic, do you all think there's any connection between population control? We now learn from... So this was an interesting topic. So for those of you that can't see it, there was a they talked about how they put some of these pig farms that are really toxic toward the community and really lower income communities, which disproportionately affect minorities. And so is this not just a food issue, but really a civil rights issue? For me, I believe so. Whenever you're disproportionately affecting a group of people, low income minorities, and doing so in a way that does not protect their health and they're getting sick every day because of it, then of course it's a civil rights issue.
I had put the post last night that caused a lot of commentary as I was trying to, you know, announce that we're going to be covering this documentary today on the show. But it says the U.S. government is encouraging Americans of color to eat foods that it knows is going to make them ill so that it will benefit the dairy farmers.
Yeah.
And one guy commented, let me read it to you if I can find it. There was just so many. Let's see. They were going back and forth. Let's see. It's from Real Oliver Twist. And he said, or did he delete it? Someone delete it? But basically, to go along with what I had posted, that this is why you wouldn't see Whole Foods in Compton. And, you know, he had gotten some backlash saying it's not because of that. It's because of the violence. But, you know, as we do the statistics, and not just Compton, but in many, many areas, I mean, you know, when I'm back home, if I go to Boston, you know, I can find a McDonald's, a Burger King on every street corner.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just here in Compton where there's Not saying that there's not violence in other places, but I also do believe that when you have a impoverished area, people will do things that might cause, you know, more violence. But I think it's more than that. It is
more than that.
You're being targeted.
We know minorities already get a lesser standard of health care from the industry. We know that we're screened later for different cancers. We're treated later for different cancers. Mm-hmm. And so it goes part and parcel with that. The fact that we're told to eat certain foods and we're not being educated about what is healthy, and that you can't find a Whole Foods in certain areas that are low income or, to a degree, it makes sense that you might have a Whole Foods that's not in a low income area, but there's not either other alternatives to that. A Trader Joe's or Sprouts.
Or even people who, are on food stamps. It's not until recently that you have access to vegetables.
Yeah, and
you don't even have access. Like, you are on food stamps, and you have to buy canned
and processed foods. Yeah.
So this shows you right there is, to some degree, what people were saying in the documentary, institutionalized racism.
And again, there's still that fight to not allowing people to use food stamps online. Because if they could actually use them online and order their groceries and get those delivered, it becomes a lot easier to get a hold of healthy food, especially if you're in like a food desert situation.
Mm-hmm. And kind of like what we talked about last week, the company where you can get fresh food sent to your home.
Yeah. So being able to use that with food stamps would be amazing.
Yeah.
So.
The main study that started the saturated fat media craze. Fat is an interesting thing because there are good fats and there are bad fats. Yeah. But I think, too, the problem with meat is avocados are fat. You can eat avocados and won't get fat. Yeah. I mean, I eat, when I was even doing my Fit to Fat journey where I was losing a bunch of weight, avocados were like my bestie. But it's the, unhealthy fat in the meats or even in the butter or in the dairy that is going to be unhealthy for you. What do you think about bulletproof coffee? Because they put butter in there. Do you drink that?
Without the butter.
Okay.
I like their coffee. I've had their MCT oil. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I do obviously do it without the butter. So I do like it in the MCT oil effects. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. The egg industry funds studies that confuse consumers. I mean,
because it's eggs, the meat, the dairy. Mm-hmm.
It's more than just the egg industry.
Because the idea is, if I put doubt in someone's mind, it allows them to take the choice that they really want to take at the end of the day. You know, we've all been conditioned to like these foods. So they don't need to worry about whether or not we have an emotional connection. They know that's already there. So the question is, when these people become adults and get a little bit aware of what they're putting into their bodies, how do we keep them? By providing a little doubt. Because if I think, I'm not really sure if it's unhealthy, I'm going to have it anyways. And that's how they stay in business.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of the lawyers that are backing these big food companies are the same lawyers that represented the tobacco industry.
Yeah, they're well versed.
One of the doctors on the documentary, he had explained that, at some point, they knew that cigarettes were so toxic that they had to put the general surgeon warning label on it. Why is there not a label on meat products with the same warning letting us know how, bad it really is for us?
I mean, they've done a better job at their PR campaign. Really, at the end of the day, the fact that they are sponsors of the American Heart Association, what else can you do?
And it surprises me, too, that lobbyists and vegan activists, the jail time that some of them will face for, I think there were, what was it, the meat, the cheeseburger law or something like that. Yeah. They have all these different laws to protect them.
Whether it's whistleblowing, they have all these laws that protect even whistleblowers of the meat industry, people from taking pictures of what they're doing and divulging that to the public. They have all these laws designed to protect them.
Yeah. To me, I feel like there are people out there who are doing, more harmful crimes or committing other things that are not, trying to educate people about what's really going on about their health. And it's sad to see that these people are, getting, I guess, the short end of the stick. They're being punished for telling the truth.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But if you want to protect an industry, that's how you do it.
Yeah. Even here, one of my coworkers, she says that her and a couple friends, they will go down to one of the farms, and as they're taking off the cows, the baby cows and the pigs, they will sing to them as they get shipped off. To kind of, I know this is kind of crazy, but but they will sing to them as they get shipped off to kind of like calm them down and
before they slaughter them
so they're not in fear. Yeah. Because, and you see it too with posts on social media where you'll see a dog and a cat on one end and other animals that we eat on the other end. And it's like, okay, where do we draw the line? Yeah. One's pet and one is food. So what do you think of that? Because I know you're vegan, but what were their true reasons why you turned to veganism?
I mean, it was for the health of the body. And then I found out a little bit more about what it does for the planet and what it does for animals and the way the animals are treated. It's awful. And we already know what North Carolina, they almost have as many hogs as they have people.
Yeah, it's
and
nuts.
They have 10 million hogs produce the waste that's equivalent to 100 million people.
It's crazy.
And so, and they're using that waste and putting it back in the lakes and streams and respraying it back on crops to somehow grow them for our consumption, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it's just a really bad situation all around, and I don't know why we make these distinctions. So again, I did do it for health, but knowing that I'm helping the animal community and helping the earth are really great pluses in my book.
My father grew up on a farm in the Dominican Republic, and you know, he would kind of share with me how they raise their animals, and he explained that they actually had a long, healthy life. And you know, after they've lived a good life, that's when you know they had to kill them for food.
Yeah.
I don't have as much of a problem with that than what we're doing now. I feel like it's very brutal where we're at now. It's different if we knew that they lived a life where they have space to run, they're being cared for, they're not being injected with a bunch of different... I mean, the pharmaceutical company injects the animals that people eat with, what was it, like
450 drugs.
450 different drugs are being pumped into the animals that are being sold to eat.
80% of the antibiotics we make goes to animals. 80%.
And I was sitting next to a surgeon on a plane. He was a cardiovascular surgeon, and he told me, too, that the highest strain of form of antibiotics are being sold to farmers all over the country.
And now that we're getting it through our meat products, we're having a lot of antibiotic resistance in different communities.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people are dying.
And now, as a result, when you get that next thing and you need that penicillin to really work, it may not work. You might find you have an antibiotic resistant version of whatever it is you're trying to get cured.
It just makes you scared that if you get sick, there might be no cure for you. You might, you know, a cold, a flu, something simple.
Yeah.
Because of all the different food products you ate and
the drugs and antibiotics we're putting in our system through the meat.
Yeah. Okay, guys, we are almost out of time. I think do we have one more question in there? I can't even see. It's kind of far. No, okay. So, takeaway, will you be showing all your non-vegan friends this? Because I went online. And I like to read or watch things that debunk some of the documentaries just to see both sides of it. And I think the biggest problem with this is some people feel that, you know, it's the spread of the vegan virus. Like, we're trying to shock America to turn them into vegans, almost like a cult.
Yeah, I mean, no one wants... Like, we have, all of us have a very deep and personal relationship with food. Yeah. And if you feel like that deep and personal relationship is being attacked, you're gonna fight back. It's sort of like if someone said something bad about your girlfriend or boyfriend, you'd be like, hey, wait a minute. Even if it was true, you'd be like, whoa.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we are right now. People have this relationship with food, and hearing that that relationship might have been messed up their entire life, and they have to change something now, it gets people scared.
Yeah.
And so I tell my friends, like, as if it was just any other Netflix show that, you know, I'm passionate about, hey, go ahead, check this out. If you do, great. If you don't, no problem. If you want to talk about it, let me know.
Yeah, I love that. And I think, you know, the creator of this documentary, Kip, I feel like that's exactly what happened to him.
Yeah.
And you know, I think it's slowly opening up all of our eyes who do watch it. If you haven't watched it, please, you know, like Shaka said, you do not have to. It's almost like, you know, church, you know, yeah, you go to church and, yeah, you know, if you feel the spirit, yeah, let it move you. And if it doesn't, that's okay.
And sometimes you walk out of church and you still live wrong.
Exactly.
But whatever, yeah, you still went. You, yeah, got there. You got the information.
All right, you guys, thanks for tuning in. And I cannot wait to read the comments because we will be replying back. And I'm definitely going to try to reach out to some of the doctors that, yeah, were in this documentary, yeah, maybe even Kip, who knows,
Kip,
because it would be, I love hearing the backstory,
yeah,
of, you know, what really went into this, you know, him talking about on air or on the show, how many people turned him down, what interviews did we not see,
yeah, and, that, and how did he vet his own studies, because, you know, we look at certain studies, they're, you know, put out by this group and that group, so were your studies clean, mm-hmm, studies, essentially, too. So.
Yeah, and I think that's some of the criticism with this is some of the studies were specifically just only to support, you know, yeah, what they're trying to prove. But I feel like that's with everything.
Yeah, but you do. You want to make sure we get that balance. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Okay, you guys, thanks for tuning in. This is a good one. I'm, yeah, all, like, riled up.
I know, we need a second hour.
All right, you guys, you can find me online at fitwithfallon.com or at fitwithfallon on social media. Shaka, where can they find you?
You guys can find me at Shaka Strong on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat.
All right, I'm going to go home and eat some vegetables.
Yes.
Have a good day, you guys.
Bye,
take
guys.
Care.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.